Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch.
Play ball!
Welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch live on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Here we are yet again on another Sunday here from 11 to noon. And this year it's a little bit different. Murph is now a full-time person with the Phillies broadcasting team yet again. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't before because he used to be on TV. But now one of the special tributes to our show now is that Murph is going to be not with me on Sundays when the Phillies are on the road. I feel bad for him on the West Coast games, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really cool, particularly the 1 o'clock games, anything that's coming out ahead of game time. We're going to know, you guys are going to know from listening to us because Murph has all the intel. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, and I've been talking about him the last few seconds here, but my co-host, my partner in crime, Greg Murphy. Murph, what's going on, man? Live from Miami.
Yeah, live from Miami. We're Easter Sunday, so not at the ballpark yet here in Miami. But most weeks I will be. When I'm on the road, I'll be at the ballparks, which will give our viewers slash listeners a little bit of a different perspective than we've had over the last couple of years. But it should be a lot of fun. We don't like to get to the ballpark here in Miami any earlier than we have to because it's like a house of horrors right now for anyone from Philadelphia. It's a scary place, Zach. I don't like going there right now.
Yeah, which is funny because I was on Twitter Saturday morning and I saw Ruben Amaro posting a picture poolside. So yeah. I'm hoping some of the players weren't joining him because I know you and I were texting on Friday night and I'm like, what the hell is going on down there with this team? It's completely frustrating. I know I was down there at the end of the season. We pulled a game out on Friday night. But like you said, Murph, this team against that team, they just cannot seem to get over the hump, in particular down there. But gosh, man, between Philadelphia and Miami, this team every single season has seemed to struggle with the Marlins. Do you have any idea? I know, first of all, how great is it to be back on the road with the team? I know last year you were part-time. You were on the weekends doing pre- and post-game live. You weren't able to travel with the team. You weren't able to be in the clubhouse. I know that was a big thing previously, and one of the cooler things, actually, I don't want to say one of the cooler things, one of the few cool things of the beginning of baseball season so far is seeing the post-game interaction in the clubhouse between the reporters and the players. I enjoy seeing that aspect of it again. So what's it like being back out on the road? What's it like being back around the team? Why don't you start out there before you dive into this house of horrors that's called Lone Depot Park?
Yeah, you know, it's great. And it's not just me, to be quite honest. I mean, the last two seasons, the broadcasters have not traveled. Scott Fransky and Kevin Franzen at the very end of last season began to fly commercially to a couple of different spots to do their broadcast. TV didn't travel at all the last 2 years. So really, it's all of us as a group back out on the road with the team, on the team plane, in the team hotel. And it has been a while. We were talking about it when we were flying down here to Miami. The last time that we were on a team flight was 2019. The end of the season, we were flying back from the final road trip of the year. That was the last time that we were all together traveling with the team. So it's great. It's great. The players have been terrific. It's kind of a running joke now. Look who's back working. Like, you know, as if we hadn't been working over the last couple of years. But it's good to be back with the guys. The relationships that you're able to develop when you're out on the road are good ones, and it's how you get to know these guys at a different level. And we're lucky as broadcasters that we're kind of embedded with the team. With the front office, with the training staff, with the PR staff, and with the players. And it's kind of like this traveling party that over the course of a year, really gets to know one another, and it's fun. It's fun. So being back out on the road certainly is great. Makes our job easier. I'm able to talk to players each and every day before the game, after the game. But it's also the way it should be done. And I think virtually every team in baseball is traveling. Not all. Not all teams are traveling their broadcasters this year, but most teams are. And you know what? It's the way it should be.
Low-budget franchises? Are those the ones that aren't?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I know, well, I should probably shouldn't go. There's a couple that I would not call low budget.
That's fine.
The World Series champion over the last 5 years that's not traveling their broadcasters, which is odd. They're going to try and do them all from the ballpark. So I don't get that. To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it is what it is. So we're lucky in that the Phillies have made it a priority to get us back out on the road and back traveling with these guys. And it does. It makes all the difference in the world.
And we're lucky to still have you here with us on Baseball Brunch for sure. And looking forward to those special nuggets that you're able to share with us from being with the team, being around the guys. And that's kind of what I want to ask you right now, Murph. But being back on the road with the guys, I kind of thought, in particular with Bryce Harper, I thought it would be good for him to get away from the home setting, the home ballpark. It was nothing but a love fest for him for the first 6 games. I think he was putting a lot of pressure on himself to put on a show, to be the MVP. I mean, the MVP chants were ringing through the ballpark throughout those 6 days. He got a Silver Slugger Award. He was recognized for his MVP. Haven't seen any real change. I know he had 3 RBIs on Thursday night. But then, we're back to kind of scuffling. I believe he struck out 3 times on Friday, 2 against Pablo Lopez. Mm-hmm. It's been a difficult ride so far for him and Kyle Schwarber. Being around the guys, being on the team plane, heading from Philadelphia down to Miami on Wednesday after the Mets series, what was the vibe? What was the vibe like on the plane? What were the guys feeling? I know you said that, they were kind of joking around with you guys, but, was it, oh man, like we're going to Miami, or hey guys, let's go on the road. Let's take care of business. Let's get back on the winning track.
Absolutely the latter. You're not going to find any professional athlete that says, oh boy, I don't want to go down to a particular place and play. There's not a guy that laces up his cleats. They're going to have that mentality, at least not publicly for sure. honestly, the vibe was pretty simple. It was, let's get out on the road. First road trip of the year. It's no different for the players. A lot of these guys, if you look at the roster, there's a lot of new faces. Being out on the road is the opportunity for them to kind of connect as a team. And that's where it happens. It doesn't happen so much at home. Guys have responsibilities, families, and some of the young players are living in a hotel downtown. It's hard for them, other than the time in the clubhouse to kind of connect. But on the road, they'll go out to dinner, they'll have breakfast together. They'll do those kinds of things without the distractions that surround the players at home. And that's when the team can really connect. So honestly, the vibe has been the same. And it has to be this way, I guess. What I've heard more than I've heard anything else is there's no panic. There's no panic in this clubhouse. There's no panic in the front office. There's no panic that is connected to this offense right now, or the starting rotation for that matter. They're off to a slow start, and it's obvious. I think your analysis of Bryce at home is dead on. I do think perhaps, as hard as he probably fights against it, he did feel as though he needed to put on a show, as you said. I think there's something to that. And he has swung the bat better down here. He's still striking out a lot. He has swung the bat better down here. He's barreled up a couple balls that he doesn't have anything to show for. But he's not back. He came out of spring like a firecracker hot,
right?
And he hasn't been able to kind of bottle that yet. I think it's right around the corner. I really do. It'll happen for him. I really thought Pablo Lopez was going to jumpstart him a little bit. His numbers against Pablo career-wise were outstanding, well over 500, 3 extra base hits. So, I thought maybe that would be the difference. Reese was the one that also had good numbers against Pablo and swung the bat well yesterday. But all in all, there's no panic. I've talked to a bunch of guys, and each one is – it's funny. I talked to Garrett Stubbs yesterday before he got the start with Zach Eflin. And I said to him, opportunity for you to get in the starting lineup. Maybe you can help jumpstart this offense. And he said, yeah, he said, how many games have we played? 10? And they'd only played 7 at the time. It's right. Like, these guys, it's a different way of looking and thinking about things. They don't think about it kind of like we do. You know, each game is its own microcosm, and we look at it and we dissect it. And we, for them, they're playing baseball, and they know that they've got a long way to go, months ahead of them. So for them, it's more like, all right, what do I got to do to get myself locked in? And I think that's what the players are thinking right now.
Now see, listen, I'm not one to tend to get upset early in the season.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm not. Okay. I think last year it took me until about June before I started going off, about
that's,
the team.
That's probably fair, yeah.
Yeah, if we're being realistic or our first year together. But there was a couple things that did bother me this week. Number one was I love the comeback on Monday night against the Mets.
Sure.
And the very next day, you had an opportunity to take a series against a division opponent who you went 10-9 against last year. The Phillies struggled in division last year. I know the 13-6 against the Nationals, but then they went 10-9 against the Mets, which is one game over 500, yep. And then 9-10 against the Braves, right, and the Marlins. Yeah. In particular, the slow starts in April seem to be a trend and a theme with this team, but also at the same time, it's the divisional play. And taking advantage of these games early on in the season, man, we're playing the Mets a lot. I think 10 times between the three games that we just played them and May 8th. We have three in New York and then a four-game series back here at the bank. And that really disturbed me how they came out. There was the lack of offense, really. I mean, they scored a run in the ninth on Sunday. Then they scored five runs in the eighth. They scored none on Tuesday. And then they kind of had a bit of an offensive explosion once Scherzer got out of the game. They should have made him pay in the first inning. That's where you got to get to an ace pitcher. But they followed that up with a clunker the very next night. And like you're staring down the barrel of a gun having to try and win a series against Max Scherzer on a Wednesday afternoon on a getaway day. I was annoyed by their lack of urgency on Tuesday night. And Murph, you're around the team. I'm not around them. I'm just saying from my standpoint, to come out there and lay an egg, a 2-0 loss on a Tuesday night after they just blew a game to you the night before, that's where you have to hop on a team like that, licking their wounds, knowing they blew a game to a divisional opponent the night before. You have to take advantage of that game, knowing you have Max Scherzer on the mound against you the next day.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's a lack of urgency. I don't think it's a lack of desire or fire.
Right.
I think
especially in game five of the season. I know. Yeah.
But I think it's more, I mean, our eyeballs told us what we saw there. It was a lack of execution from an offensive standpoint. And it has been a lack of execution from an offensive standpoint, since game two of the season. You mentioned the five runs they score against the Mets in the eighth. They had one half inning of offense in the entire series against the Mets. It was good enough to win one game, which is great, but they just, the bats weren't there. And it has it's kind of followed them down here to Miami as well. Look, nobody, I say this all the time, and I'll say this again about any sport, professional athletes want to win. When they win, they make more money, they get more accolades, they get it. Winning is what it's about for these guys. That's what they want to do. So the idea of this lackadaisical attitude or lack of fire, I don't buy that. But obviously something is not working offensively right now for these guys, whether they're pressing, they're swinging lots of strikeouts, swinging at a lot of balls outside the zone, swinging and missing at balls in the zone. They're just not connecting right now from an offensive standpoint. I don't think there's anybody that follows baseball that thinks this lineup is not going to hit.
Correct.
So I think we almost have to say, okay, let's be patient. We missed an opportunity versus New York. They're missing opportunities down here in Florida. However, there are going to be plenty of opportunities that they can take advantage of going forward. And hopefully this offense finds its rhythm, starts to click and becomes the offense that I think most of us believe they will be. If you look at the lineup on, what was it, Friday night in Miami, that's not the lineup that we expect to see. We're a week into the season and there was no JT Realmuto. There was no Gene Segura. There was no Alec Boehm at third. It was Johan Camargo. The center fielder was Simone Muziati. So four guys out of your nine that a week ago weren't in the conversation as guys that were going to be in that starting lineup. So,
right.
You know, for whatever reason, guys getting rest, guys are injured. The lineup itself isn't exactly what we expected it to be. So when those guys, the nine that we do expect to get back out there, hopefully that's when it starts to click.
The overreaction to Girardi's lineups over the first week of the season have been ridiculous. I mean, having Gene out of the lineup, you can't do anything with that. I mean, it's an injury. You're hoping he's going to be back on Saturday, you know, for that tilt, you know, especially with a lefty on the mound. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Bohm is going to be back in the lineup on Saturday as well. You know, but to sit here and look at the lineup, like you have 13 straight games to open up the season. You had a short spring training of only 3 weeks. And because he's rested JT twice now, everybody's like, they have 36 games in 38 days. Garrett Stubbs has to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he already laid out his plan. Stubbs is going to start in Colorado on Wednesday. That way he can give JT back to back days off because they have a scheduled off day on Thursday.
Makes sense.
Like, it makes all the sense in the world. And if anybody who's followed the Phillies over the years has known, Zach Eflin has performed better pitching-wise when he pitches to the backup catcher. I don't know what the reason is for it. Not saying that he's not going to pitch to JT Realmuto at all this season. And, hey, if the Phillies do get into the playoffs and Zach Eflin's pitching game three, I don't think Garrett Stubbs is going to start.
Probably not.
And then the argument that people want to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, why isn't JT at least being a DH? Well, right now the DH spot, for the most part, this season is going to go. And they've been saying it about Alec Bohm, too. That DH spot is going to be rotated between Bryce, Nick Castellanos, and Kyle Schwarber. Castellanos can't play center field. Bryce can play it from time to time. I'm sure Bryce will play center field from time to time. That might actually be something we might see over the next couple of weeks with the struggles of the center fielders. You might see Bryce play a little bit of center field to where, hey, maybe we can get JT in the lineup in the DH spot, put Bryce in center field for a day. It's not going to happen for a week. It's not going to happen for all season. The lineup, to me, it has a lot to do with scheduled days off, which is fine for JT, especially a catcher that's taking a beating behind the plate and has to crouch down. I don't know if anybody knows how hard and difficult it is. Like, sometimes I just hurt from crouching down and picking up my kids.
Yeah.
This guy's doing it behind the plate, catching 100-mile-per-hour heat, foul balls nipping off his mask. You got to give the guy a break from time to time.
Absolutely. And look, again, look across baseball. You know, we tend to have a myopic view here in Philadelphia, as most fans do, about their own particular team. But starting catchers are getting days off once a week all across baseball. It's the norm. It's what has to happen. If you want JT Realmuto playing in September, you need to give him days off in April and May. It's just the way it works. So I would agree that the overreaction to the lineups – early on, has probably been a little bit over the top, but you know what? On the flip side, I wouldn't have it any other way because in our city with our fans, we live and die. We live and die each night with the game, with the lineup, with what's happening. So I'd rather them be uber excited about what's happening or uber frustrated about what's happening than completely not caring. So I'll take the overreaction on that, but I do think that's a good point. It's been a little much. So, you know, and you know, just, we should say Garrett Stubbs, when he has played, it's been pretty good. You know, he's a good defensive catcher. We know that. And he
had that bump base hit on Sunday.
Yeah. I think he's, I want to say he's 3-for-6, or 2-for-5 or something along those lines, in his at bats. He swung the bat really well on Friday night. Lined out to short right field into the shift, or he would have had two hits on that night. So, you know, guys are, you know, Johan Camargo has swung the bat pretty good. You know, he's a good player, a really good defensive player, and yeah, he can swing the bat. So, you know, those guys are kind of holding their own. Yeah, center field, we need some production out of center field. I know you know, you don't want to hear this, but Odubel Herrera is getting closer to coming back, and he's going to get a shot until Mickey Moniak is healthy to try and solidify that position. And he's a guy that's done it at the big league level time and time again. So he's going to get that opportunity. And then you just got to hope that when Moniak comes back, he picks up right where he left off. He's here with the team. He's been doing everything he can to, you know, stay in shape and do what he can baseball wise. So he is going to be ready to go, probably a quick rehab assignment, and then ready to go as soon as that hand heals up.
All right. And Garrett Stubbs and Johan Camargo, great pieces off the bench, and they could possibly be great neighbors for you. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Again, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up in the second segment, I want to get Murph's opinion on the Alec Bohm situation and what transpired this past Monday night as well. We're going to dive in and give you our predictions and picks for the 2022 Major League Baseball season right on the other side, right here on 102.5 Fox Sports. Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Family owned and operated for 30 years, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking, garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, www.wehatedirtywindows.com. That's www.wehatedirtywindows.com. Welcome back to Bud Light Baseball Brunch on this Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to you and yours from our families to you. Murph, we're back. We're going to talk a little bit more about Phillies. A lot of content in the first week of the season here.
Hey, but can I stop you real quick before you get into Alec Bohm? Can I tip my cap to the guys that clean the windows on the Comcast building?
No.
Are you kidding me with that?
No.
God bless those guys.
I have zero interest.
Oh, my goodness.
Ever. No, like you've seen The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
When Neo and Morpheus is trying to get him onto this to go back and to go to the roof of the building. No, 0% chance.
Well, thank goodness we have folks out there that that have the wherewithal that can do that, because there's no way. There's no way I couldn't physically do it. So I just wanted to mention that. So go ahead.
Absolutely. Alec Bohm. So Murph, as we all know, what transpired in Monday night's game, three errors in the first three innings, TV cameras caught Alec Bohm. And you could pretty much, there was a couple different ways that people were trying to say what he said. But you know, the one that I love that people were saying, that he was saying, I effing hate these plays. Like, first of all, you're a Major League Baseball player. Why would you say that to begin with? But we all knew what he said. And to his credit, he fessed up to it. He admitted it after the game. I'm completely cool with that. You guys want to acknowledge him the next night and you want to make T-shirts and give them all out. You want to acknowledge him with a little bit of a standing ovation. Okay, whatever. Like, nonetheless, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not saying you need to boo the kid, but I think we went a little over the top, because sometimes in this city, you know, everybody wants to sit there and say, oh, no one likes us and we don't care. But the first time something happens to us, oh, we care. And this is an instance where we could kind of prop up our reputations a little bit. Hey, well, we threw snowballs at Santa Claus 50 years ago, but we gave a standing ovation to a guy that said, I effing hate this place. So I kind of laugh on that context of things. But to follow it up on Wednesday, when he came in the pinch run for Gene Segura with another semi, not as loud, but, you know, like Tuesday night with a standing ovation, it's a little bit much. Are we going to give standing ovations to Alec Bohm for the rest of the season? Pretty much with him telling us that he hates this place.
I'm up on my feet and I'm clapping. Look, I understand. I understand your point. It's part of what I absolutely love about this city and our sports fans. You know, we're local. We grew up here. We're part of that fabric. You know, we are part of it. I said to anyone that would listen the night that the day after the incident, I said, you watch, he's going to get a standing ovation tonight, because that's Philadelphia. And it did. I mean, I think it was pretty easy to predict. This city loves people who are accountable. And I have not seen an athlete handle a situation as gracefully as Alec Bohm. That could have been ugly. That could have been Ben Simmons-esque in terms of a city turning on you like that, which was well deserved, by the way, with Ben Simmons.
Oh, no doubt about it.
But yeah. had Alec tried to handle it any other way than the way he did, which was with complete honesty, complete sincerity, looking at the cameras, looking at the reporters and saying, yeah, I did that. I'm not proud of it. I probably shouldn't have emotion. The way he handled it, I was standing up and I was clapping. Look, we believe, I think most people believe that Alec Bohm needs to be a productive player this year for this team to get where they want to go. He's a part of what they're trying to do. And certainly offensively. And, you know, if this the city can bolster that a little bit, I mean, he has swung the bat well since the season has started. It's been the defense, obviously, that has been the problem. I'm all for it. I thought the way Alec handled it was awesome. I thought the way the city reacted was awesome. Do I think he's going to get a standing ovation for the rest of the season? No, probably not. Unless he continues to hit, then he's going to continue to get some love. But it was a situation could have been ugly, and it turned out to be what I think might be a positive in the long run. So you know what? Sometimes it all works out. Alec Bohm right now defensively is a liability, and I think he knows that. I mean, certainly we've seen Joe Girardi kind of shy away a little bit of playing him at third base because we have ground ball pitchers on the mound almost every night, and third base is such an important position. That said, Alec is working his tail off with Bobby Dickerson, our infield coach, each and every day to try and get better, and that's really all you can ask. You know, I physically, he can absolutely do the job over there. I think right now he's questioning himself mentally, whether or not he can do the job. And that's a tough way to play baseball. So he needs to turn the corner on that. Hopefully he does sooner rather than later. He's going to get back and have opportunities at third base, and the team needs him to perform over there, and be pretty good. He doesn't have to be perfect. He's going to make errors. But they need to be limited, and hopefully they happen in times that aren't crucial in a game. So, and I think also, I mean, you can expect to see Camargo late in games as a defensive replacement. And that's the right way to play baseball. That's what should happen.
Get a lead offensively with his bat.
Absolutely.
And then bring in Camargo. That's what they used to do with Pat Burrell.
Yeah. I mean, the Phillies, every organization is littered with guys who are in there for their bats and get replaced. I'm Greg Luzinski, my favorite player growing up. I mean, you know, he was not the best left fielder on the planet, but obviously he had bombs and you know, hit for average, hit bombs, and you needed him in there. But they would swap him out. I mean, it's the way baseball is played. It's the way it should be played. And the Phils are lucky that they have a guy like Camargo that can jump in there and play the late innings at third, because he is really solid defensively over there. So
now if the defensive woes continue to, you know, to permeate for Alec Bohm over there at third base, offensively, he looks like he's gotten a stroke back. It looks like he's gotten his eye back at the plate. I mean, his leadoff walk in the eighth inning is what sparked that on Monday night. So as much as he gave it away early in the game, he's one of the big reasons why we were able to come back and win that game. But if the defensive struggles continue, can they continue to have him on the roster when he should be working on that, playing third base every day instead of us tucking and hiding on the bench and playing him two times a week? In particular, when Ranger Suarez is the starting pitcher, and you know he's a ground ball pitcher, are we doing him a disservice if we're not giving an opportunity to maybe go down to AAA? Hey, go down there for a month, continue, you know, we're happy with how your at-bats are going and how your offensive production has returned to where it was in the shortened season in 2020, but we need you seeing the ball at third base every single day. But are we doing a disservice to him if we don't give him that opportunity?
No, not yet. I mean, we're
pretty, I know, early. It's still early. Yeah.
Yeah. We're early in this campaign. I think Joe is trying to figure out the best way to kind of cross every T and dot every I and try to get, try to put the best lineup out there, but also try to get Alec, you know, reps at third and that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of work that goes on before a game begins, as you know. And so he does get, you know, he's probably taking 100 ground balls a day at third. I know it's not a game situation, but still, it's important to get that muscle memory and to just go over and over. And Bobby Dickerson, who I mentioned before, is one of the best in baseball. The Phillies brought him back. He was with the team a couple of years ago. He left. The Phillies have brought him back as their infield coach this year. And he's as good as it gets. And he and Alec have been working nonstop on getting Alec to the point where he can be a productive defensive player as well. So will he get sent down at some point? I hope not, because I think they need him up here. I guess if it gets to a point where it just isn't clicking for him, it's possible. But I think it's way too early to be talking about that yet.
Okay. All right. So without further ado, let's get into it, Murph. All right.
I hope folks have their pencils with erasers for this segment. Yeah.
All right. 2022 Major League Baseball predictions sure to go wrong. Yes. No doubt about it. Last year you won the pick segment and I won the preseason predictions. Just a little bit, over.
Yeah, you had a couple pretty good ones. I remember. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. Thanks. Appreciate that. I know I had to pat you on the back the last couple months of the season as you ran away with the pick segment. Well, so it's nice to have it returned.
All right. Well, this year, not more of the same. I think I'm locked in. I think I pretty much nailed it straight across the board. So.
It's on like Donkey Kong, Murph. So how about you start it out? Why don't you give me your National League East, your division winners, your three wild cards, and your National League dark horse team?
Okay. So I'm giving you all that right now.
Give it to me and I'll give you mine.
Okay. All right. I will admit we're what, a week into the season. You and I had our opening day show and we talked a little bit about our thoughts. I have changed one of my picks. Ooh. And believe me when I tell you,
it makes you sick.
Pained me to do this. It did, because there is no team I dislike more in baseball than those stinking New York Mets.
Well, I thought for you it would be I thought Mets were all of sports for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, across the board, I can't stand the Mets. Yeah. I can't stand the Mets.
Their fans.
I can't stand their colors, even though I like blue. I don't like anything about the New York Mets. That said, when picking the NL East winner this year, I know. I originally
ate breakfast and you're doing this to me?
that's a fair point. It's not easy for me either. Buck Showalter, to me, is the best move the New York Mets made in the offseason, probably in the last two or three years. They needed a guy that could get this collection of talent that they do have all on the same page, all pulling in the same direction. And I think he's going to do it. I'm a big fan of Buck Showalter as a baseball guy. And I think he was about as good as a signing as they could have had. I got the Mets winning the division, not by a lot. They're certainly not going to run away with it, but I have them beating out the Phils and Braves to win the division. If I had to bet, maybe by a game or two.
What the hell's happened to you over the last week,
I know,
man?
I don't like it. However,
we should have did it. We should have did our predictions before the season started. What has gotten into you?
See, but I would have.
I don't know who you are anymore.
I would have picked the Braves at that point. I think the Phillies, and let me, I don't want to get ahead. All right, so I got the Mets winning the East.
Okay.
I'm sorry. In the Central, I got the Brewers. I don't see any other team, maybe the Cardinals, but I don't see any other team that can win that division personally. I think the Brewers win that division. They probably win it handily. They're running away with it. In the West, I'm trying to go a little off board here. Obviously, the Dodgers are the favorite out West. I'm taking the Padres to win the division.
Okay, all right.
I think maybe they get it all together. And the Padres win the division. Again, same as in the East. It'll be close. It'll come down to the final week of the season. The Padres or the Dodgers could win that division. I'm going to give it to the Padres. So my wild card then would be the Phillies making the wild card, because I absolutely believe the Phillies are a postseason team this year. I've got the Dodgers as a wild card team. Okay. I think easily they get into the postseason. If not the division winners, they're a wild card. And I have the Braves as my third wild card team, which – is going to be tough to do, three teams out of one division, but I think the Central's pretty weak, and as long as the East beats up on the Central, they're going to be able to accumulate enough wins that they're going to be able to you know, outpace the Cardinals for that last wild card spot. So I still think the Braves are a pretty good team. So, all right. So that's, and my dark horse is Miami. Again, another NL East team, but this Miami team is better than people think. Their pitching is really good. And they do have a lineup that can hit. I mean, if you look at some of the additions they've made, Joey Wendell, kid can flat out hit. Soler, he can hit. I mean, they're not as bad as people think. I don't think they're a postseason team, but could they make some noise? Yeah, I think they could. So we'll go with Miami. MVP this year, Trey Turner. I think Trey Turner finally wins the MVP. He was deserving to be in the conversation the last couple of years. He's going to win the MVP. And Cy Young, I got Scherzer. I think if the Mets do win the division, a big part of that is going to be Max Scherzer. I keep waiting for him to get old, and it doesn't happen. So I'll give the side to Max Scherzer.
Not yet. The Green Legion, make sure you prepare yourself for another round of great football destinations this season with Chicago, Arizona, Indy, and Houston all on the schedule. NFL plans to release dates on May 10th, so be prepared soon after that for packages to be released. If you want to ensure a spot on a trip, we are accepting $150, fully refundable, early bird deposits, and we'll do so through April. If you are interested in attending any of our road trips this season, call the office at 215-666-5940. That's 215-666-5940, or go to greenlegion.com. And our last segment here on this Easter Sunday, we're going to finish up with our predictions, our 2022 predictions. As well, we're going to give you a couple Can You Believe It's for sure. And as we wrap up the show, we'll give you a few picks for your Easter Sunday. So maybe you could throw some money around that you found in your Easter basket on Sunday morning. Right here, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We are Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this. Everyone, we are happy to introduce to you for the first time the fully renovated Ludlam Hotel at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, the old La Costa with the complete renovation finished. You will now see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering the freshest local seafood, cooked simple to ensure the flavor that already exists stays that way. The hotel is open year-round, and all guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags for all registered adults, walking distance to everything. Check out www.ludlamhotel.com. That's www.ludlamhotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservations, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Hotel, your new oasis in Sea Isle City. Welcome back for our last segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on this beautiful Sunday morning. Murph is in Miami. I'm in Maple Shade. But one of the great things that we're going to have this season is Murph is going to be on the road. We will be live at Xfinity Live before day games when the Phillies are home. So when the Phillies are down at the ballpark for a 1 o'clock start, we'll be at Xfinity Live from 11 to noon. Make sure you guys come on down and see us. I don't believe we're going to be outdoors this year. We're going to be right on the inside to the left of 1100 Social as you pass by the Joe Frazier statue. So make sure you guys stop in and say hello to us throughout the course of the season. It's going to be a lot of fun again. I feel bad for Murph for the West Coast games when I'm at 11 o'clock our time and he's at 8 o'clock. But that should only be a couple Sundays this year, right?
Yeah, no worries. No worries at all. Happy to do it. All right, but I am jonesing to hear your National League picks because I already kind of laid out what's going to happen. So I'm kind of curious as to whether you agree with everything I said.
No, I do not agree. Our division winners are completely different. Okay. I'm going with the Braves to win the division. Okay. Mike Soroka is going to be back sometime around the All-Star break. That is a great trade deadline pickup. They're not trading anything. They're getting back their ace starting pitcher from a couple years ago to go with what they already have. Acuña is going to be back in the early portion of May. So he's going to be back in the fold too. That is a really good team. They got Marcelo Zuna back from, you know, his domestic issue that he had last year. That is a very formidable lineup now. Even without Acuña, it's going to get even better. The Braves are going to win that division. You said that you don't see anybody keeping up with the Brewers. The Cardinals, man, they have Goldschmidt and Arenado. They still have Yadier Molina. They brought back Albert Pujols for all the good feels. Although that third base steal that he had the other day, I heard Jim Rome say the other day, what year did he think he was in when he looked down and he saw what uniform he was wearing? But that was hilarious. I'm not a fan of the Cardinals, but I think the Cardinals are better than the Brewers. I know the Brewers have the starting pitching, but the Cardinals are a damn good team.
All right.
The Dodgers are going to win the West. That's an easy layup for me. I know you went off the grid, but I'm taking that one. The Phillies are going to be a wild card team. The Brewers are going to be a wild card team. And the San Diego Padres are my last wild card team. Your division winner, the Mets, I don't even have in the playoffs. I think somewhere along the line,
you're right.
Somewhere along the line, the Mets are going to realize that they're the Mets. And they're going to fold like a cheap tent. And that's what they're going to do. You don't know what's going to happen with DeGrom this year. They're already having injury issues with Taijuan Walker. And you don't know about Max Scherzer. Eventually, you want his arm to fall off. It could be this year. I'm not sure, but we'll see about that. So I don't have the Mets making the playoffs. Prove me wrong.
I will give you the crown if that happens. I'm happy to give it to you.
I would love to have that.
Yeah.
National League dark horse team for me is the Colorado Rockies. I know that's a tough division, but they seem to have some pretty good pitching, both in their bullpen and starting rotation. And they've added Chris Bryant. They have a formidable lineup. I know they lost Trevor Story, but that team, Charlie Blackman's still there, Ryan McMahon over at third base, that is a good team. Whether they can put it all together, we'll see, especially in that division. But I don't see anybody in the Central, and it's hard to pick one. You took the Marlins. I kind of agree. They were one of my teams, so yeah. I'll go with the Rockies on that side. My National League MVP, Bryce is going back-to-back for me.
Love it.
I got Bryce going back to back. I have Soto and Austin Riley right behind him. And then my Cy Young is Walker Buehler of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think it's his time. I think it's his year. Max Fried and Logan Webb is a guy, a sleeper for me that I like there as well. Murph, give me your American League.
All right, here we go. In the East, I like the Blue Jays. I think it's finally their time to win this division. They've been knocking at the door. I think they do it this year. I love that lineup from top to bottom. And they got good pitching as well. The White Sox will win the Central. I think they are very solid. And I'm going with the Angels to win the West.
Dude.
I'm a believer.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I have all three.
It's all the same?
All three.
There you go. Hey, you know, great minds.
They show. Yeah, man. League,
you're way off base, but the American League, you're locked in. I like
Mike
that.
Trout and Shohei Ohtani. You have the two best ball players in the game on your team. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Rendon have a bounce back year. They added Thor in there. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
All right, so we agree on the division winners. Here are my wild cards. I think the Yankees make the postseason. I think they make the wild card out of the East. I think the Mariners are a team to watch out for. I'm giving them a wild card spot. Seattle Mariners, they've been, you know, creeping up over the last couple of years. I think they make it this year. And I've got the Astros as the final team making a wild card as well. So Yankees, Mariners, Astros, three wild card teams. My dark horse, I was going to say the Rays, but they're not really a dark horse. They're a good team each and every year. So how about this? The Tigers. I think the Tigers are pretty good. Now, I'm not predicting that they make the postseason, but I don't think they're going to be bottom feeders either. I think they're going to be a team that that wins a lot of ball games this year and starts to open up some eyes. They got some good young players on that team. So I'm going to go with the Tigers as my dark horse. My MVP, you already mentioned him. He bounces back. He wins it again. Mike Trout is going to win the MVP in the American League. And the Cy Young, Lucas Giolito. I think, you know, he's a guy that has been in the top 10 in Cy Young voting over the last 3 years, has been really good. This White Sox team, I think, is really good. I think maybe this is his year to kind of jump out and win that American League Cy Young. So I'm going to give it to Giolito.
You have a World Series pick for me.
World Series would be, I didn't give that much thought. I'll go with the Blue Jays and the Phillies. 1993 all over again.
Ooh, okay. So Blue Jays over the Phils? Or Phils?
No, no, no.
Phils
no,
retribution.
No. I'll stop it. No, if the Phils are in the World Series, they're going to win it. But Phillies Blue Jays match up in the World Series. How's that?
All right. Sounds great. So I'm going to go my wild cards, since we already know the division winners. Astros, Rays, Mariners. I have the Red Sox and the Yankees both out. I think that they have old aging lineups. I too many strikeouts in both of those lineups. Not enough starting pitching for the Red Sox or the Yankees on either side. I do not have – and Chris Sale's injured again this year. So Twins are my dark horse. I think adding in a proven winner like Carlos Correa, like that right there is an opportunity for them. Byron Buxton getting hurt the other day really doesn't help me. I hope the MRI, you know, goes against the grain there. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's going to win. He was runner-up last year. He's going to win the Cy Young. Shane Bieber bounces back after his shoulder injury. That's my Cy Young for the American League. And I have Blue Jays over Dodgers in the World Series. That's my pick.
All right.
So we both had the Blue Jays in the World Series. Listen, why don't we do this? Because we only have a few minutes left in the program. So why don't we just skip over the sounder this week? How about you start me out? Give me a can you believe it? Two things that we find interesting for Major League Baseball this past week. Give me your first one there, Murph.
All right. How about this? Carlos Rondon has struck out 21 batters, allowed just five hits in his first two starts. He's just the second pitcher in modern Major League Baseball history with 20 plus strikeouts and five or fewer hits over his first two starts with a team. The only other guy to have done it in modern baseball, Pedro Martinez did it back in 2005. So there you have it.
It's always good to be in the same breath as Pedro Martinez. This is a fun one for me. Spencer Torkelson, he was born in 1999, got his first big league hit off Rich Hill, who was drafted in 1999. So
how about that? I like that. That's a good one.
All right, give me a second one.
All right, the Phillies had lost 54 straight games when trailing by at least four runs in the eighth inning or later. Up until Monday, their comeback win versus the Mets was the first of its kind since August of 2019 when they trailed 5-0 to the Cubs and won 7-5 on the Bryce Harper Grand Slam. We all remember that. So it had been a while.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's my favorite crook call of all time.
54 straight games they had lost. 54. That's a lot.
Nuts. So. All right, how about this one for you? Jose Ramirez, 12 hits and 14 RBI in six games a season. Only one other player since 1920. The first season RBI were compiled officially in Major League Baseball, had that many hits and RBI in his first six games of a season. Pat Burrell in 2005, 12 hits and 15 RBI. That's courteous of Elias Sports Bureau.
Very good. Good one.
So how about we do a couple picks here, Murph? What are you thinking for Sunday?
All right. So Sunday, I'm going to start with the local team. I love the Phillies over the Marlins. Wheeler on the mound. They're -1.5. I'll take the Phillies to win that game. Final game of the series, and head off to Colorado, a happy plane.
I'm going to go with the New York Yankees over the Baltimore Orioles. They lost the first game of the series on Friday night. Listen, teams like the Yankees don't lose series to teams like the Baltimore Orioles. They own the Orioles in Baltimore. I'm taking the Yankees.
Okay, how about this? Okay, picking an underdog. The Rays are +1.5 against the White Sox on Sunday. Vince Velasquez, our old buddy, pitching for Chicago. I'm taking the Rays over the White Sox +1.5. Bring on the extra juice, please. Thank you.
All right. You want to go dog for dog? Let's go dog for dog. Right. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Reds to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in L.A., Tyler Malley against Andrew Haney. I think this is going to be a matchup right here where the Reds are going to be able to put up some runs against the Dodgers pitching, especially you get a break after having to go up against Tony Gonsolin and then Julio Urias on Saturday. Yeah, you get a little bit of a break with Haney on Sunday, so I'm going to go with them.
Okay, all right, and I did go an over-under. I know we're going to stay away from them this year, but early I did. I went over 8.5 Brewers and Cardinals on Sunday. I just like both those offenses. I think they're going to score some runs, so over 8.5 Brewers Cardinals Sunday.
All right, so what's the over-under? Are you looking at it right now?
I'm not. Well, no, only that one.
Okay, all right, because I don't have any over-unders on any of the things on ESPN right now. So
I'll give you one next week. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm just going to take it like this, all right? I'm going to take the over. I don't know what it's going to be set to. Braves-Padres on Sunday night. I'm going to take it on Sunday night baseball. Yeah. I think there's going to be some runs that are going to be put up in that game, so I'll take the over on that as well.
I like it.
I know Chad will keep track of it on our Twitter handle, @BaseballBrunch, so make sure you guys follow there, as well as you can follow Murph. You know where to find him on Twitter, and then myself, SackAttack112 on Twitter. Again, thank you all for tuning in. For those of you that tune in on YouTube, as well as 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Happy Easter to you and your families, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday, especially with Phillies baseball.